May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is one of our most important passages of Scripture. It answers, for one thing, the question that Tina Turner asked so famously back in 1984. What's love got to do with it? Turns out, the answer to Tina's question was pretty simple. Everything. Well, there, we got it sorted, right? Figured it out. Elapsed time about 25 seconds? That's got to be a world record for a sermon. Not so fast. We know better than that. We know that simple does not even remotely imply easy. I remember a story I heard a little more than a decade ago. I was getting ready to be married, as much as anyone can actually get ready for that sort of thing. So somebody told me this story, I suppose, to help me prepare myself. A young groom was standing outside the church on the day of his wedding, along with the groomsmen and several generations of menfolk from the church. A white-haired gentleman took the groom by the elbow and sternly told him, "Now remember, the first 10 years of marriage are the hardest." "Got it," said the groom-to-be. "But after that, it gets easier, right?" Old man shook his head, "No." It's not too hard to empathize with that poor young groom. How often in life do we grasp at something that seems simple because what we really want is for things to be easy? Our popular culture is riddled with advice that sounds great precisely because it sounds simple, but that often proves to be less than easy when we try to apply it. In one of my favorite movies, a grizzled football coach is trying to reassure an anxious new quarterback before the first big game. "Relax," he tells the player. "You just have to find a way to lead your team, earn their trust." "Oh, really? Is that all? It's so simple." How hard could it be? When my two little girls were a little younger, I watched probably thousands, well, maybe hundreds. Okay, probably dozens, but episodes of an animated show called Special Agent Oso. Now, Oso is a walking, talking, stuffed bear who's also a secret agent. I can't tell if you're coming with me on this one or not, but I'm just going to plow ahead. In each episode, he teaches a child how to do some simple task, some basic task like tying shoelaces, for example. And he always uses three simple steps. Now, the three simple steps would usually go something like this. Hold each shoelace in both of your hands, step one. Step two, pull one shoelace across the other one. Step three, tie your shoes. Again, it's so simple, but easy. Maybe if you already know how to tie your shoes. I'm telling you these silly stories today before we look at today's gospel because I want to make sure that we're all on the same page about this distinction between simple and easy. In my experience, it is a significant distinction. Simple is not easy. Have you ever noticed that the shortest words in the English language tend to have the longest entries in the dictionary? If you haven't, or if you don't believe me, when you get home, look up be, or do, or go. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Defining such simple words has got to be one of the hardest tasks of linguists and lexicographers. And in a similar fashion, the simplest, most basic teachings will often be the most challenging, and honestly, the most difficult to embrace and absorb, the most difficult to live up to or to live into. And in today's gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us what may be the most terrifyingly simple, the most unflinchingly basic, the most dauntingly straightforward command in the entire lexicon of our faith. Love. Love one another. That's it. That's all. Really, Jesus? Couldn't you give us something a little bit easier? Like, for instance, I command you to feed every child in your nation 3 meals a day, every single day, forever. Or better yet, I command you to understand and be able to recite from memory every esoteric permutation of every doctrine that comprises the systematic theology of the church from AD 45 to the present. That would be easy. But no. Jesus has something more demanding for us to do. Love. Love one another. How are we supposed to do that? What does that even look like? Well, it's funny you should ask, because Jesus gave us the answer when he gave us that commandment. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. A high standard indeed. Most of us, thank God, will never have to find out what it means literally to die for someone else, as Jesus died for his friends and for us. But that doesn't let us off the hook. The truth is, Jesus laid down his life for his friends long before the crucifixion. Yes, he died on the cross for them and for us, but from the moment he came into this world, his life was already forfeit. From the beginning, he lived not for himself, but for others. He became incarnate in the first place, for our sakes. Every single thing that he thought or said or did in his earthly life was in service to the Father's will and done for us. Let that sink in. An even higher standard, I would say. How do we, here, in our flawed human lives, even begin to approach what Jesus is talking about? We can start by recognizing that what Jesus is commanding us to do is not going to be easy. That way, when we're neck deep in the weeds of trying to love each other, and we discover firsthand how hard it is, at least we won't be surprised. We won't make the mistake of thinking that we're doing it wrong just because it's hard. We won't be ashamed of the fact that it's hard. And we won't make the mistake of thinking that our faith must somehow be lacking because we're having a hard time of it. That's important. Second, we can and we must realize that Jesus is commanding us to do something. His commandment to love one another is not a commandment to feel all warm and fuzzy about each other. In fact, it has very little to do with how we feel at all. Jesus' commandment is about how we act. The choices we make in terms of how we treat each other, how we react to each other, how we behave around and towards each other. Love, in the sense that Jesus is talking about, it's not something you feel. It's something you do. Acting out of love instead of fear or hurt or pride. Acting out of faithfulness towards each other instead of suspicion or anxiety. That's hard work, especially when the other people involved actually have, in fact, scared us or hurt us, have wounded us, have betrayed us. But you know what? Jesus knows that. Jesus knows a thing or two about being wounded, about being treated with suspicion and scorn. Jesus knows something about being betrayed. And he chose to act out of love anyway. And he commands us to do the same. So before we do anything, we should ask ourselves this simple question. And notice I said simple, not easy. In what I'm about to do, am I acting out of love and loyalty to the person or persons involved? Or am I merely reacting out of my own fears, my own woundedness, my own selfishness, my own pride? We have a chance every day to lay down our lives for our friends. In the choices we make, in the actions we take, we can act out of love, or we can act out of something else. Acting out of love each day is hard work. We pray after communion for God so to assist us with His grace that we may continue in holy fellowship. In Rite 2, we pray to God for the strength and the courage to love. Indeed, it takes strength, it takes courage to love one another in the way that Jesus commands us. So pray that prayer hard, today and often, because we have work to do.